What up, my guys and my gals? This is Super Metal World. This is Michael.
This is Ty.
This week, we decided to delve into the world of the Fargo Moorhead metal community. As many of you know, we are based out of Fargo, North Dakota, and we had an interview this week with Gorgatron, a local death metal band.
Yeah, they've been on our list for a while. We have wanted to interview them for a while, but we wanted to make sure we were established enough we kind of made ourselves known to the Fargo Moorhead area. For those of you who are from Fargo and are probably just listening to this for the first time, we run a podcast, and we talk about metal music, metal lifestyle. We've done album reviews, we interview bands, we talk about metal news, really anything. We mix it up, try to keep it fresh.
The world, the super world of metal.
Yes. Where am I going with this?
Spoke with Carl and Cameron?
Yeah, we did. But I got my thoughts together. Okay. We are more than just a local podcast, is what I will say.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why we wanted to establish ourselves prior to interviewing some of the bands from around the area, because we want our ceiling to be non-existent.
We're going to rule the world one day.
We want to encompass all of the metals in all of the worlds, not just Fargo and Moorhead. Although we will make it more of a point to interview some of these bands from the area, show some love, because there is some real talent here.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So we interviewed Carl and Cameron from Gorgatron. Carl is the bassist of the band,
Cameron is the bassist.
Yep. Right as I was saying it, I was like, this is not right. Carl's the vocalist, Cameron is the bassist. And we had a good time chatting with these guys. We talked about a lot of fun things, which I won't spoil. Went on for about an hour, which is always a good sign. Mm-hmm. It means that we had good conversation. And then we'll end the interview by playing two of their tracks that they handpicked for the podcast. And make sure you check out all of Gorgatron on their website and on Facebook. I think they're on Instagram too. And try to catch them live if you're around the area. They're really worth the go.
Yes. I would like to...
I was waiting for you to... I couldn't stop myself. I was waiting for you to interject and help me.
I would just like to read it real quick from their bio, because I think it's pretty good. It's eloquently stated. Hailing from the depths of Fargo, North Dakota, comes the blast-beaten, cheeseburger-eaten, riff-thrashing, hipster-bashing, booze-drinking wild men known as Gorgatron.
That sounds like a wrestling promo.
It does.
You know, like Ric Flair would say that
woo,
or something.
Woo!
I'm the cheeseburger-eating, hipster-bashing... Okay, anyway.
Woo!
Yeah. What's happening to this intro?
Know.
Anyway, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Super Metal World is what you would search to find us.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us and tell us how much this intro sucks at supermetalworld@gmail.com. We have a website, www.supermetalworld.com. And that's going to have all our previous podcast episodes. We have big news about the website that we've been saying the last couple episodes, and that is that we're going to add bloggers. We're going to have people start blogging on our website about metal music, or really whatever they want to blog about that's kind of related to the metal world and community. So that will be rolling out hopefully within May. We will have some blogs up for you guys to read. And if you are a blogger and you would like to blog about the metals for funsies, because right now obviously we are...
I don't have any money to give you.
Yeah, we have no money to give you. I guess say we're a non-for-profit, but
we are a no-profit.
We are a no-profit organization.
There's a subtle difference between no-profit and non-profit.
Yeah. So I think that's all I got. Oh, iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, you're listening.
Rate
and reviews.
5 stars only.
Only 5 stars.
Subscribe.
If you don't give me a 5-star, then fuck you.
Exactly. And we're basically available anywhere that you can listen to podcasts besides Spotify. We're getting on it. Get off our back about it, okay? Let it run. We're here with Carl and Cameron of Gorgatron. These are kind of our hometown heroes here. This is our first band that we've actually interviewed from Fargo. We've kind of strayed away, but we're very happy to have these guys on the podcast. How you doing, guys?
We're doing goddamn good, gentlemen.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So, Gorgatron, we actually saw you guys live for the first time at the aquarium. It was when you had, what was that, Endless Rain? You bought that CD, Michael. That was a really awesome show.
I've seen all.
Yeah, that was, because what band was it again that they didn't have a singer?
That was Oppress the Tyrant. That's a, that show, I had set up for them. It was their tour kickoff. And the day that they left for tour, they had to drive to an ice rainstorm. And I thought that their vocals were like, oh, I thought the tour was canceled. They're like, no, we weren't sure if we were going to make it to the show. So he was still in like Omaha.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so basically.
Yeah, but that was like one of the best shows. I've been doing this since I was 13, man. Like, that was probably one of the best, like, that a show I've witnessed a very long time.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. It's kind of cool how you guys all filled in. And it was like, basically, you had, you know, including Gorgatron, you had one, two, three, what was it? Three other, or four other bands, excuse me. And each kind of, each member or a lot of members of the bands got to hop up on stage and kind of freestyle. Is that what it was, basically?
Like a death metal rap battle.
Yeah, that's, I've never witnessed anything like that before. It was really cool, though.
Yeah, one of my buddies was counting, said that 17 different people were up on stage in their face.
That's insane.
That's just how we do it.
I remember when like you guys had, well, you were up there first, Carl, and I was like, man, did he like, there's no way he learned all these songs in like the amount of time, but I could kind of see.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they messaged me around noon that day and asked if I could fill in, and I said, of course. They sent me three tracks, and I listened to them, and there's no possible way to learn them. So, I mean, the whole rotating vocals thing just kind of happened. You know, I talked to Fryer, they set it down, and I liked how it turned out because people from the crowd that weren't vocalists got up on stage, and the other vocalists from the band got up on stage, and it was a really good time. It turned out really fun.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. It was a good show all around, start to finish. Wasn't that opening act, Maul? They're from Fargo, too, aren't they?
Yep, Maul and Demi Fiend, though, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, dude, that was, like, here's the thing about the aquarium. For those of you listening that aren't from the area, like, the aquarium is, like, one of the best, if not the best, venue in town, but it's kind of small to have five metal bands worth of equipment. So, like, dude, we ran that shit so tight that night. Like, everyone was on stage. The only band that was behind was Endless Rain, and they were behind by 3 minutes. Otherwise, stage load-ons were precise. It was awesome.
I was impressed with, like, how much equipment was, like, racked up on the sides of the wall, like, going to the back door. And it was, like, faster in and out. All of the bands were faster in and out than, like, I think any show that I've been to. It was cool.
Yeah, no, I do. Before that show kicked up, I felt like a dick because I like sent this message to all the bands. I was like, all right, this is what we're doing. We're gonna do a rotating thing. The band that gets done, everyone helps get them off and get the next band on. And ran through it before the show started, and everyone's like, each band was basically like, they're gonna be positioned. And we did a quick rotation, all worked out.
Yeah, no, it was a smooth show, and we were obviously impressed with all the bands, really. And when we first, I mean, we've only been, it's been like 6 months that we've been doing this podcast, and we always wanted to get around to you guys, but we wanted to kind of make sure we had our footing before we reached out. So You guys have been around for a while, though, right? When did Gorgatron start?
2007. Yeah, Gorgatron around since 2007. It was Paul on bass, Matt on drums, and Neil, the guitarist that was formerly in Egypt. He actually was on the first Gorgatron.
Oh, sure.
And then he left to do Egypt, and Paul moved to guitar. We had a different dude on bass, and then I joined in 2012. And when did you join? 2014, like the fall, is when I started hanging out talking about doing bass. Yeah, so Cam joined in 2014. So this okay. lineup is this 2015.
Okay, yeah. Sure. So you said, Carl, you've been in it since 2012 and Cam since 2014?
Yep.
Okay. Who was the, who did vocals before you, Carl?
Paul did vocals and played bass on the first lineup of Gorgatron.
So then you guys released Torchatorium in 2010.
Yeah.
How much of that, you know, do you guys still play a lot of that live?
A couple tunes. We play Schema. That's a staple of the set. And then a couple tunes here and there. But we're playing a couple off of Inner Supremacy, our second record, and then some new stuff that we haven't gotten around. We're recording right now. So,
sure. Yeah, I was gonna say Inner Supremacy was released 2015. And I'm assuming both of you had a, like, how does the writing process go for Gorgatron? Who does all the writing? Who does the lyrics? Is it by committee or how's it work?
Well, I guess with the first album, like, riffing and all, like, you know, it was written between, like, Paul and Neil, like, on guitar, and of course, Matt drums. The second record, I wasn't around for the second one. I know, Carl, you had, like, riffs and songs and
yeah, it's a collective effort. Either Paul or Cam and I have a riff and we bounce it off Matt. And, usually any riff that Cam and I have, give it to Paul and then he tweaks it a little bit. And then I write most. There was a couple tunes on Instagramity that Paul helped me with, but I do most of it.
Sure. And kind of when you're working on lyrics, what's your motivation, I guess? Are you taking things from your own life or writing about, I don't know, books you've read or movies you've seen? Or
right. It really depends. Sometimes I write about, like, kind of take things that happen in my life and relate them, like a metal way. You know, I'm not going to write a song about, and, you know, that's not very metal.
Right.
but then sometimes I write songs, things I've seen, like cool ideas. And then sometimes I write songs, it kind of varies.
So you guys, you said you're working on new material. How long have you guys been working on the new album?
Well, what we can, originally we were just going to release an EP of like 5 songs.
Yep.
And then the way things work.
One second, guys.
Who's the dog?
Guard dog.
Oh, with a hood. Oh, where my dog at?
Hey, we're under attack here, apparently.
Hey, you guys are keeping that. You can't edit that out.
Yeah, we're going to keep it. Okay, anyway.
We're trying to tell them where the dog's at.
So, well, the dog's just really excited about the new album.
That's a real thing. Gorgatron fucked the hood hard, believe it or not.
Anyway, so have you guys been writing since 2015-ish for the new album? You know what I mean? How long's the process been for this new album?
There was a few, like, leftover riff ideas like when I joined the band in 2014, my first, when I showed up at the practice space to be like, hey, do you want to play bass? I walked in on Paul and Matt playing one of our newer songs.
Yep.
That are going to be on the album called Option. And I shit my pants and was like, oh, fuck. But, so like that just has been fucking sitting around. And then, you know, we recorded an EP, but then realized it'd be way better if we just did a full length. You know, right. We're doing some work behind the curtain that you all will find out about very soon, hopefully. And, we cut at a full length, and then, but we belted out like four new songs in the last like 6 months or so.
Yeah. So we have five songs that we originally recorded for the EP, and now we're working on recording another fourth song.
And where do you guys do your recording?
In our jam space. Yeah. We have the whole setup. Basically, you know, a setup that itself or pay someone boatloads of money to do. We just figured it'd be better to do it ourselves.
Yeah, makes sense. Definitely. Saves the money too, like you said.
Right.
So did you know all these guys prior, Cam? Because you're kind of the last one who joined.
You know, it's kind of a funny story. I at the time I was living in Alexandria, Minnesota. You know, I've been messing around like the punk hardcore world, like the St. Cloud, Minneapolis, St. Paul world. So I was a young chap. I kept seeing like this band, Gorgatron, like they played Minneapolis, or they actually played shows in like Alexandria. I'm like, dude, I've never been. Apparently, there's a scene up there, and I had just broken up. Gallows, but I was helping her raise her kid. I was renting a house. I was slowly selling all my music equipment and, like, you know, doing flooring. It sucked, kind of.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I moved up with my buddy Steve, and just on a whim, we lived in our vehicles for like a week. And, like, 2-3 years later, Paul hit me up. He's like, hey, man. So I played in a few other bands locally. And then I do Green Jello stuff. And, yeah, he just hit me up. He's like, hey, am I interested in playing bass in the Tron? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll do that. So, ultimately, like, long story short, even though I just told the story, is I saw the band.
Yep.
I moved to the city we have been, and now I'm in the band.
Right. Funny how life works.
Yeah, right.
So, okay. So you guys are working on the new album, and do you guys think of, because you were kind of thinking about whether to do an EP or a full length, does the fact that everybody's kind of moving more to streaming music, does that have any effect on how you guys release material at all? Or are people primarily buying your stuff more so?
Well, I mean, I guess I can't believe, we have talked about that stuff, but like, personally, I don't, like, it's different in the metal world, man. Like, as a fan of metal or just rock and roll in general, or a good album of any genre, like, I like a good album on the back. You know, I still listen to CDs in the vehicle or, you know, whatever, like, front to back. I don't like to hop around from song to song. But, like, in the climate of the music world, a lot of folks, it's just easier to do one jam and put it out here and there. We were going to do the EP thing because it's like, instead of spending, you know, however long, 10, 12 songs, why not just focus on 5 songs and really kick the shit out of them until they're fucking awesome.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what we did. And then we got to talking with some folks and something things, then we realized, like, well, let's do a full length. And we spent all this time on, you know, 5 songs. Now we know those better than the background. And now let's focus on 4 new songs. And so, yeah, that's what we've been doing a lot.
Do Do you have a do you have a date in mind that you're thinking of releasing any of this stuff? I mean, you can say it. I don't know what do you want to keep hidden, but
yeah, it's was it April right now?
Yep.
Yeah, it's April, just May. Yeah, I'd say probably December 2036.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess Metallica waits a while between albums, so if you guys want to wait that long, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, preferably as soon as we can. But we don't have a date yet. No, nothing like, but the way it looks and sounds, possibly next spring.
Sure.
Because here's the thing, and anyone who's listening to this, you either know about the music world, and you're going to be like, yeah, Cameron, you're talking stuff I already know, or you don't know. So you never really want to release anything in the fall time because of numbers and charting in that world. Kind of on the DIY, like, release it whenever, man. You record it, put it out without mastering it. But,
Yeah. So it just makes, it makes more sense to release it in the spring for you guys anyway.
Yeah. And like, dude, there's, we're talking with our manager dude today earlier. He was talking about this fall. There's going to be about 30 releases this fall.
Right.
Like, a well-known band. No one fucking knows who the fuck we are yet, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's,
I have hard enough.
Did you guys play any of these? Sorry to interrupt you, Cam. Did you guys play any of these live recently? Have you been testing some of these new songs?
Yeah, we actually played all five songs at that show that you guys were at.
Okay, that's awesome because you know you guys are brand new to us anyway in terms of kind of digging into your music and experiencing you live. So yeah, we were. I thought the energy was great for that set. I mean, you clearly have. I mean, do you feel like when you're in Fargo playing shows, you get some love? You got some fans around here?
Yeah, we do, and yeah, we have a pretty solid. You know, the people that come out to see us and it's really good. As far as I at least to my knowledge, the people that I've talked to at. We always have, you know, a couple people that have never seen us, and it's really good to hear those things. You know, that people are checking us out and everything. I mean, ideally, you know, it would be awesome if we played, more people that have seen every time we play in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we try to do is not play and oversaturate ourselves around here.
Right. Right.
I think some bands do that. We can't play, you know, 2-3 times a week and expect a draw. But we also like to mix up the if we do local shows, obviously there's going to be other locals. You know, I reach out to a lot of people sometimes. You know, they're like, oh, no, we're good. But yeah, we try not to play with the same bands as well because otherwise you can just see that show next time.
Right, it makes sense. You want to add some kind of, I don't know, uniqueness to each show you play.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, man. Like, if for those who missed that last show, like it wasn't even like our set; it was that Oppressed Tyrant set. Man, 17 different people got on stage and did vocals for a band. Like, where else are you going to see that? You know,
I've never seen or heard of anything like it. You know.
Yeah, after that, like, when we were getting ready to play, I turned to Carl, I was like, dude, like, the wrestling, we just helped put Oppress up, and we gave him a push.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure you guys really had, I mean, your set went really well, too, and people were really pumped, I think, to see the closing act at that point, but man, I was almost worried for you guys. I was like, that's a hard act to follow when you have like 17 singers filling in for this other band, and then you guys got to close it.
Luckily, we had those inflatable swords.
Yes.
That was awesome.
That went over well.
Matt bought those. I don't know if it was like a drunken Ambien 3 in the morning
Right. well, I think his original idea, because it was Friday the 13th, and I wanted to get machetes.
Yep.
But he had a style for pirate swords. I mean, you know, it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest, though. I think the highlight of that show was inflatable sword.
True. Just them sitting in the corner.
Yeah, I think we could have just given the crowd inflatable sword, and it would have been just as effective as if we didn't play six. that was a time, man. I'm glad you guys came out and had a good time too, man.
Oh yeah, it was a great introduction to kind of the Fargo metal scene for us, and then and you guys too. That kind of leads me to my next question, though. Especially for those who listen to our podcast who aren't from Fargo, which happens to be a lot of people, how would you guys describe the Fargo metal scene? Let's put it that way.
Well, everyone who's in a band, in a lot of cities, there's a lot of like, dude, I'm in like 13 bands. And it's like, I can tell. It's like, you don't have your full focus on one project.
Right.
And that's one thing I noticed, like, when I first moved up here, is, like, even in, like, the punk sound, or if you want to call it punk or whatever, hardcore,
yep.
Or even, like, the jam band, you know, even some of the rappers and whatnot, like, everyone just focuses on the project, and, in return, like, you get, everyone kicks ass at it. And Fargo's had a long history of, like, metal acts or rock and roll. I mean, we got one of Paul. He's been in the scene for 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's the thing about the Fargo metal scene to me is that we have a talented band, but I feel like Fargo is a big, small town,
yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yep, exactly.
So what happens, and, you know, this might be in a spirit analysis of what happens. What happens is that a lot of bands that have friends in other bands, and then it turns into those bands playing with those bands. And I don't really, I suppose, I think there's a lot of clicks. Maybe clicks would be the right word. There's a lot of groups of people that play with their friends. And we've been saying for years, like, we'll play with whoever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Psycho.
Yeah. We don't need to talk about that.
But like, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, well, at least since I've been in the band, like, when I'm booking shows and stuff, I've been out to some other bands, and they're like, oh, man, good. And then, like, I don't have Twitter. I was telling weeks ago, and it was, what the hell? Those people not have anything to do. Like, you still with George Carlin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know that bit where he's like, whatever happened to a kid sitting outside on the lawn with a stick? Like, people need to get off that Twitter thing. But anyway, like,
sure.
I talk with other bands that, like, you know, we've never played with from town, and they'll send me, like, nah, man, we're good. And then immediately, like, someone sends me a screenshot, and they're talking shit, like, oh, man, we're trying to play with the same bands. And I'm like, dog, I need you to do a show. Don't be like that. Other than that, like, that's, you know, in reality, it's like, it's few and far that happens.
Yeah, sure.
And even if there wasn't a scene in this town, the only thing that people really need to focus on that came out of the city in the metal world is the WWJD, right?
What? What's that?
Just check out, like, WWJD Fargo. Why won't you do this stuff? More people. Dude, I'm telling you, that album deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for 2018 and beyond. And you look at what's going on in the world, how tensions are high in our current social climate. Everyone needs WWJD, the self-titled.
So that's the name of a band?
Yes, out of Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, it has our drummer Matt and the old Oregon guitarist Neil. Yeah, you should check it out.
Are they? Have they been around for a while?
They
it was a strategic thing. I don't think they act.
Okay, sure. What kind of genre of metal would you like? Is this like death metal or
black and death? It's just gotta listen to it. Everyone listening to this podcast, all of you, it's on Spotify. It's on everything you need to know, and that's all you need to know about the park.
WWJD. All right. Well, you heard it here first.
Right.
So
also, you're gonna need like a Himalayan salt lamp size of salt when you listen to that album. If you got thin skin, you're not gonna enjoy it. And the joke's on you.
Wow.
I'm just looking at some of these track titles, and yeah, we'll have to investigate.
Very awesome.
Yeah, we're excited about that. Okay, so Gorgatron, inspiration for, let's just talk about for both of you, Carl and Cameron. What inspired you? What was the moment in your life where you're like, man, I like metal music?
Oh man, pretty much the first time I first recorded stuff. I can't even think how long ago that was. I was on the playground in elementary school.
Yeah. I come from like a musical family. Like my dad, you know, he grew up with Prince Nelson, dated Tyka Nelson. He grew up. He was part of the whole Minneapolis music. You know, the Minneapolis sound from the late 70s to the 80s.
Sure.
So I always grew up like funk and blues in the house. And then the other half of my family is all country. They listen to country and all that shit.
Sure.
So like I grew up with that. And then like in the cities, man, I always saw like all the trucks walking around. And like scream noise at a record store down there. When they have old location, I was like a few blocks away from my house. And I went in there and I just saw these crazy shirts and the album covers. And like, you know, I got like a few popular, like back when cassette trading was around.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got into like punk and hardcore that way. Like sure. I used to live across the street from one of the in Minneapolis. And like a funny story, like Hatebreed, they used to tour in a Winnebago. And my mom would hook it up with, or the house I was living at, we just called her mom. But like, we'd bring food to the band. Like, you're like, can you get us into the show? Because it'd be like an 18 plus or 21 plus.
Yep.
But I will say, the life-changing moment in my life where I decided the only thing I fucking care about is like rock and roll, which metal is rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, punk is rock and roll.
Definitely.
If it makes people upset, it's rock and roll.
Yeah, the rebellious nature of it, yeah.
Yeah, I was 8 years old, and my mom gave me a 20 bill, and I got Weird Al's Fat on Set, a polished rock, and then I saw this album cover, something about it. I was like, holy fuck, what is this? And I bought it, and it was Metallica, Justice for All.
Sure.
And I was in second grade, but going into second grade, and going into the school year, my mom used to dress in like Timberland and like matching Nike wind figures, big goofy. You know that old movie House Party?
Yep.
Yeah, I had that haircut with giant goofy. And like going into second grade, I'm like, Mom, I want to pick up my own clothes. And then it was like jeans and black shirts and Metallica and Justice for. And I just kept falling deeper and deeper into fucking abyss of metal, obscure metal, fucking rock and roll, punk bands. And now it's gotten to the point now, it's a phone call from Merle Allen. Hey man, what's going on?
So yeah, hey man. So Metallica was kind of the first, I don't know, popped your metal cherry? Is that what you're saying?
Like, I was kind of, because that was kind of late 90s, mid to late 90s. So, like, you know, through movies and shit, like, I had heard, like, rock and roll or heavy metal stuff. I didn't think anything of it. It was just background. I was 8 fucking years old, you know?
Yeah, right.
The Weird Al thing, that was obviously cross for me to lose. So I got that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I've Metallica, CDM, Discman. Like, holy fuck.
What was it about Injustice for All that you connected with?
Dude, it was the attitude, the fuck, you know, all the chugs. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never, the type stuff before.
Yep.
And songwriting, everything, dude.
Yep. I would say that's our, me and Michael would say that's our favorite Metallica album, for sure. We'd rank that up there.
Hey, dudes, you know, sitting here listening to Cam, I got to thinking, you know, I'm just going to tell you that it's just like I might lose all of metal cred right now, if you know what I'm saying.
That's all right.
I'm thinking about it. Like, I remember I was, honestly, the first I knew I liked that metal, fucking Kid Rock.
And
dude, I had that album. Dude, you want to tell me any kid that was young and heard that fucking name? Dude, that had attitude. And like I said, Gorgatron might go on a downward spiral just because people talked out that like Kid Rock and I can't. Well, dude, I got one even better, like, not even better, but is it worse or better? I can't tell. But, dude, albums I have listened to a lot. I even got hit by DMX. And I used to just be on my bicycle all day every day. I took a lot of school. I got hit by a car because, like, dude, albums I had on loop were Linkin Park Hybrid Theory. And, like, at the same time, I was listening to, you know, like, Obituary and bands like Cancer with their old school death metal bands, but I also listen to like Park Hybrid Theory because, like it or not, it's a good album for.
Well, you know, Hybrid Theory, and to a certain extent, Meteora. I mean, those were pretty important albums for like the new metal movement. Yeah. I would say
I pretty much got peer pressured out of it after Hybrid Theory because my metal elitist friend. And here's another thing. I've been talking with Carl Nosebuck, and I think more people should practice this. I've been trying it. I've been doing this thing in the last like year and a half, almost years of like, I'm trying to not get music I might not be into.
Yep.
Something that seems, what's the, pop music?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's
been one of the hardest things that on in my life, like, you know, you're sitting there watching a band and you're just like, I get what they're doing. I'm gonna try my best to not, or you hear something on the radio. It's,
yeah, trying not to get too jaded and get older and elitist. We get called elitist a lot.
You guys can call elitist?
Yeah, all the time. I don't know why. At the same time, like, I listen to Stampede when I, like, listen to death metal.
Right.
Like, actually, before we go any further, I was like, put this on record, I do not listen to Kid Rock anymore.
For the record. We're just going to name that the episode. Carl listens to Kid Rock?
Does Gorgatron listen to Kid Rock?
Right? You know what's funny is, a year ago, starting last week, we were on tour with our buddies in Texas Toast, Chainsaw Massacre, and Goth. And 2-3 days ago, Facebook like a year ago today, doing this.
Yep.
Well, a year ago, like 4 days ago, we were in Wyoming, Michigan, and at the end of our terrible show, we played in front of the bartenders and did a bad set. At the end of that, we ate pizza. Drank a shit ton of Yingling, which is the greatest beer in this fucking world.
That's what I've heard. I've never tried it, but I've heard good things.
I'm sipping on a nice Yingling right now because we got the hookup.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we were sipping on Yingling, and there's actually footage on Facebook from a year ago of us doing a circle pit, the ba with the ba.
You know, there's no shame in that. I remember jamming out to Kid Rock when I was like in elementary school. So.
What was it? Track
3, that with Josie, he has that line like, 3 foot nine with a 10 foot dick.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Dude. Was that on Ba with the Ba?
Yeah. Is it?
No, that was,
I'm going platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bud Light platinum. Bud Light platinum.
It's almost like, it's almost as much of a dirty pleasure as saying like that you enjoy some Limp Bizkit songs. They're very comparable artists.
Hey man, that, you know, say what you will about bands like Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit, but I mean they do have songs that everybody, right? That's the thing, dude. And the thing is, they still like sell out. That's another thing. Like, yeah, it's easy to fucking shit on a band that's doing shit successful or you know whatever.
Yeah,
be if they're a good under. In your opinion, not a good band. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, most of the time when people are shitting on a band or an artist, like, because they're being successful, it's because they're not supposed to be on.
No, yeah, like who, some like, jealousy.
Yeah, like, it. That's kind of what it boils down to. It's like, oh, they're doing that. I'm not, but I'm too dated to fucking own up.
Right, right.
Just knock it off, man. Everyone just needs to get along and listen to music and Gorgatron.
Yes, especially Gorgatron. Well, what is, I'm trying to think of that Limp Bizkit song, Break Stuff.
Dude.
That has a pretty, like, Circle Pit-ish moment when he's talking about the chainsaw and skinning people's ass raw. Just saying.
We were doing Circle Pits after our show that same night to Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. Dude, the Texas Coast Chainsaw Massacre boys are all about what one would call terrible music. But it's great because they own it. Like, Josh, the vocalist of that band, his favorite band, without even trying to be funny, is like Disturbed. And I'm going to be honest, I had the Believe record as a kid, and I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, there's some good moments on there. Isn't Liberate on that album?
We just Carl just said that tune. Isn't that ironic? That's the song, and that's kind of like the moral of the story that we're talking about right now. You just need to liberate the vibe.
That's true.
Edit that out. Hey, back that up. We need to edit that out. We can't be having Disturbed and Kid Rock when this is talking.
Where did this conversation? This conversation is fucked all of a sudden.
All the work that we've done as a band just got thrown out of my door, man.
Where's that dog like, barking
man,
again?
Dog and Kid Rock, dude, for real. Man, get the fuck up out of here, bitch.
So, you guys, did you say you were in a place called Wyoming, Michigan?
Yeah.
That's a dumb name for a town.
Have you ever seen the movie Cannibal the Musical?
Say it again?
Have you ever seen the movie Cannibal the Musical?
No. Tell me about it.
Oh, dude, just check it out. It's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They made it when they were in college. It was like their college movie.
Yeah.
But there's this awesome scene. Is this like a video podcast?
Is this a video podcast? Audio?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, if it wants you to find this and edit it into what I'm talking about. But anyway, there's this scene where the Trey Parker's character's like, have you ever been? Someone's like, something in Wyoming. He's like, yeah. Have you ever been to Wyoming? And that's just a dude like out in a remote going, oh, hello. And that's just,
yeah, I'm sure that, I'm surprised we've never heard of that. We're big fans of obviously South Park and everything they do.
Dude, it was Cannibal the Musical. I mean, like, dude, back when I was a kid, like, my mom, she hooked me up. She was like, dude, I'm a diehard fan of Trey Parker and Matt Stone stuff. I had DVDA. That's the band that they had, like, songs. I picked all that stuff up when I lived in Minneapolis at Extreme Noise. It was just, it sounded like CDRs have white with the plastic on them.
Sure, sure.
It was just like a CD and it said double vaginal, double anal. And I was like, well, that's funny.
You said Matt and Trey? This is a Matt and Trey thing?
Yeah. They have a band like Now You're a Man, one of the songs.
Yep.
Now You're a Man!
That's a classic. I didn't know that
That's a deep song, fucking Chewbacca.
Huh.
Like, Basically, it was like the project and what they used to do a lot of shows. They did a lot of shows back in the day. But they used to do they had this awesome show that they did on Access when they were in college. And I had only heard about it great fun, like trauma stuff. And my mom at the time went like way out of her way as she contacted the Access panel in Colorado. And she actually got VHS dust of their public access show called Tab Wall. And it was pretty awesome. Like, Trey Parker didn't even go by his real name. He went by Juan Short.
Juan Short?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So you guys have been... Where else have you guys... you said Michigan, obviously. How far have you guys traveled outside? Do you stay in the Midwest, or where do you go when you travel?
Pretty much most of the hubs in the Midwest. We've been out to the West Coast and everywhere in between, and then the East Coast twice.
Sure. And
we do a lot of regional stuff. There's Sioux Falls, Minneapolis, Omaha, Kansas City, Topeka, Chicago, St. Louis,
Where was where's been your favorite place to play that wasn't Fargo?
Oh man, Mesa, Arizona.
Awesome.
Or Dallas, Texas, man. Club Red, those guys, in Arizona. They hooked it up, man. They have this cool venue where it's like a dual venue, like two mid-sized venues, and next door to us was like a bunch of like screamo metalcore stuff.
Yep.
Same time on the other side where we were at, it was like all death metal, but we had we were the headliner that night, and the primo metalcore stuff finished early, so then we got all the kids and some of the bands came over to the we were in. So that's on top cool. of like all the death, a lot of people showed up to that show, just death metal in general, and then we got a bunch of metalcore primo kids, and the sound was awesome. Brother outside with a hot dog cart. That show didn't end early because it was two separate shows. But we managed to steal some of the fans from the other show.
Right. There you go.
Like they were watching that stuff and they were like, "Well, this side way
because the one band was salty loading up.
Yeah, they were mad, but they were loading up at the same time you were. And I think I went over to them and said, "Hey." Good set, I snuck over the as they weren't really nice. I don't remember what band.
Yeah, well, things happen. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I feel like the energy. Would you guys say that Gorgatron is death metal? Is that what you guys classify yourself as?
Death metal. That's pretty good summation.
Yeah, death metal, grindcore. I mean, whatever. Really, we try not to.
No. I mean, if you dig hard in the YouTube comments, some jerk like, "Man, they're not true grindcore, they're not true." It's
like, I feel like loud. That's elitism when people try to talk like that.
Just,
I guess.
And all we got blast beats and trend picking and gutturals, but we're fucking writing and playing stuff we want to hear with those aspects of musicianship. So fucking spill whatever label you want on it. It's Gorgatron. That's all you need to know. Hey, man, what do they sell? I'm like fucking Gorgatron. How about that? Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, personally, if we had to put, our record in Best Buy and, they had to categorize it, I would probably put us in the funk section.
Yeah, dude.
There you go.
Death metal?
Because, we got that groove. We got that funk attitude.
Yeah, definitely.
These guys are trying to get Cam on top row.
We are trying to get Cam to draw, so that's a true story.
I'll do Jerry before I do an afro. Wouldn't that be cooler? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you.
It's okay. We've been bugging Cam to grow an afro for a while.
Dude, I gotta cut my hair every 2 weeks. Otherwise, it gets fucking insane, man. I got this steel wool water bead of the hair, man.
Okay, I wasn't sure where you were going with that. So, I don't know. I think it would be, I think it would work.
Yeah, we've told them this. I mean, if you would like to, I mean, think about how many times you've seen a death metal band. Now, how many times have you seen death metal with a dude with an afro?
Not many. So I think just the visual appeal. And then I feel like your headbanging would be more fun.
God damn it. Yeah, these are all points that we have brought up in this discussion.
Instead of like a comb in your hair, you could put, I don't know, something metal related.
A metal comb.
here it is. And those of you listening, go on social media and let us know. I will grow an apple if Paul grows out a full skullet and Carl does a Fu Manchu and Matt does a mullet.
So you guys are all like stereotypes? That'll work. I like it. I think you should bust that out for the new album. That can be your cover.
Oh man, god damn it.
Yeah, it would be fun. We've talked.
So okay, so we talked a little bit about touring, where you guys have been. Who have you guys opened for? What's been some big names that you've had fun opening for, I guess?
Well, we opened for Machine Head here in town a while back. Unfortunately, I have no recollection of what we did. We've opened for Sacristic. Who else have we opened for?
Like Dahlia. Weed Eater?
Oh, yeah, we've opened for Weed Eater. The old lineup opened for Hate Eternity.
Goat Whore?
And Goat Whore. We're currently trying to open for bigger acts, but we don't know it's going to happen, and we're not going to stay.
Sure.
I don't know if it hasn't been announced yet, but there's one coming up in July.
Oh, Rivers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're opening for Rivers and Not here. July 13th at you.
That's cool. We interviewed them a couple episodes ago.
Cool. That was a good dude.
Yeah, their new album was pretty impressive. So how does that work? Do you guys I just don't understand how that works. You guys reach out to the band and say, "Hey, we'd like to open for you when you come around," or
it varies. I mean, for instance, yeah, we play festivals and stuff, and huge band have and whatnot. As far as like, locally, sometimes it's just if we know them, we'll work out something or talk to the promoter or have, like, currently, like, our manager dude knows, you know, a few other guys, so he's throwing in a good word for us. It varies, man. You know, sometimes it's just like, I need to fill this slot.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah, like sometimes fans are passing through Fargo, and they're looking for a show, and you know, they message us or a venue message us. And other times, we message them. It's kind of
so it just varies. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what would you guys say? What sets you apart? I'm asking the hard questions now. What sets you apart as a band from the other Fargo metal bands and even the hardcore bands? Why should people listen to Gorgatron over the other ones?
Well, I mean, oh man. Well, one thing, I know there's, and not to take away from this one, because there is a handful of others that also, but one thing is we're road tested. We found the pavement. We practice our instruments.
That's a big thing.
You would think that would be a necessity.
Yeah, dude, we practice a lot of time. We're about sometimes four days a week, no less than two, for like 2-3 hours. On top of that, like, we play a tight set.
Yeah, we play to a click track. I think that's cool. I would say another thing too. I mean, we don't need to open a discussion about age group. I feel like we all have a pretty old school mentality.
Sure.
And with that, honestly, my opinion, with that certain level of integrity, some younger or maybe, or even older, you know, just some people don't. Right.
Are you talking like a maturity level thing or a musical like knowledge and experience sort of thing?
A little column A, a little column B. You know, when we play, we try to bring the pain, you know, throw it down. And, you know, at the same time, we try to be mature about things. We're not the dudes on stage, like, once we're done, and there's another band that has to play after us, like, taking our drums apart, simple. Yeah, you know, we try not to do anything. You know, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, and some people, I feel like some people do.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to be humble, and, you know, but yet bring a good crowd to people.
And also, I mean, in those videos on social media, we're having fun, also, like, on top of fucking writing some serious music or what we think is serious.
Yeah.
We're all fun trying to laugh as much as possible because it sucks sometimes.
Well, I definitely think there's a good energy to your shows. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you're on tour and you give Carl a basketball and you make the world's most famous basketball video.
That sounds interesting.
Which you can see at BorgatronBand.com.
So, okay. So that was a good answer, by the way. What band? Let's frame this question for people who have never heard of Gorgatron or never heard your music. How would you describe your sound? What influences do all you guys bring to the band? Like, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever been compared to other bands, but answer that question however you'd like.
Okay. This is actually kind of an easy question because it comes up a lot. If you are a fan of Cannibal Corpse, Suffocation, Morbid Angel, or Hate Eternal, you'll like.
That's simple.
We get pegged as sounding like pretty much every time we play.
If you could pick one band that's not Gorgatron from Fargo, who would it be? Who are you also really impressed by in the Fargo music or Fargo metal scene? I should say.
Man, that's a kind of a bittersweet question because
production.
well, what I was gonna say is that because my favorite band from Fargo that was in the metal scene recently broke up, and that's Egypt.
Oh, I didn't know that. When did that happen?
Well, to my knowledge, it was around February, this winter.
Sure, that's a bummer.
I don't.
It was made official like February, January.
Yeah. There was speculation about it, then talking to the dude, they went public with it, I think, in February, because they were supposed to play a
record. But yeah, I don't know, man, it's like you could say, I'm trying to think how to the question. Bands that you could put it, like, on the same bench with, I guess, would be, like, as far as newer bands or bands that are active right now. You know, your Brutalers, Phobophilic, Swing Low, yeah. Mall, of course. And then, of course, to bring things around full circle, WWJD.
yes, you said.
Yeah. also, Benefactor, those guys from Fargo.
Swing Low is kind of a hardcore band, aren't they?
Yes. They got that groove, baby. Yeah. Swing Low also, those are really good friends of mine. I really like playing with those dudes, but I think more heavy acts play with each other that aren't necessarily.
You're saying they're a little more heavy than the typical hardcore. I missed that.
Oh, no, what I'm saying is that, you know, if someone were to call Gorg Trust when, you know, we play with, like, a black metal band and a hardcore band.
Yeah.
You know, I would like still, because honestly, I think if someone was subjected to, like, you know, 4 to 6 hours of straight death metal, probably wouldn't have a great time. The average person,
you know? Well, yeah, you need a little variety. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah, and so that's why I dig playing with bands that aren't successful. Oh, dude, before I forget, Skullfrost, Pittsburgh Fargo, they're also really good.
Say it again.
Skullfrost?
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, we got a lot of work to do, it seems. A lot of bands to research, don't we? Mm-hmm.
What was the name? I don't think they're from Fargo. What the hell was the name of that third punk? I'm a bad friend, if that's the case. But, what's that?
Hang Time.
Dude, there's this band, Hang Time. Now, as someone who grew up with the fucking old school punk, and I'm talking real punk been dead, let's be honest, like 82. But like, of that style of music, like, one of my all time favorite bands is Ace Orange. And they're actually a hardcore band. They're hardcore. But like, they kind of got that like surf rock, surf punk kind of thing. Dude, sure. That band, Hang Time, that shit was fucking awesome. And I got to hit them up to get them on a show. Because I think, like, as far as bands, local bands I'm thinking right now, like, they're one of them. Four people should be that.
Definitely. So... Well, you've heard it from Gorgatron here. There's plenty of Fargo-based bands to check out, worth checking out. What do you guys got coming up? You got any shows coming up to plug?
We have that July show. And like I said, Matt, earlier, we're doing some curtain stuff right now. We're on the upcoming release and all the logistics that go with it. But... we did film we're not doing kayfabe right now. So yeah, for those of you that do listen, you're in on the joke. We made a mockumentary called Beyond the Blast Beat.
Sure.
And basically it's like us trying to be the punkest and elitist to answer some of those internet rumors about us. And spent the day with our buddies Chris Bio Bismarck, which they have this, and here's another reference all y'all need to check out. Go to YouTube, type in Alien Assassin.
Okay.
Alright? And you watch it's a trailer, like I think about 2 minutes. It's just called Alien Assassin. You'll know it. It looks like an 80s action film.
Sure.
The guys who made helped us with this Beyond the Blast Beat. We are going to be doing a premiere of that in town here.
Oh, sweet.
It's about 15 minutes, and we're going to basically try and find the right time, but we're going to pair up with Randall Black. He has an operation called Grunt Flicks in town, and like they do movie screenings of old school, like, you know, brown cult kind of movies, and it's a really cool operation. That's another thing I'll y'all check out. If you're not familiar with it, it's Grindcore, Florida. So, and therefore, you know, we don't have to, like, take the mic down from the guitar rigs or the drums, and we kind of get out, do a Gorgatron thing, but in a different setting, and that's a movie setting with popcorn. yeah, stay tuned for that.
That's pretty exciting.
We'll be announced soon. Other than that, yeah, just I think so far it's just that July show with Rick Denial.
Yep.
And other than that, we'll just be hanging out with beers at shows.
Yeah, working on your craft.
Yeah, and then we're gonna be posting a few other videos. I mean, that's another thing. Like for those that are just finding out about Gorgatron, click with us or have only heard rumors. Like we have skits and stuff that we do. You know, we make like, if you go to like our webpage, like we have videos that are, you know, Yeah, hey, should we do plugs right now? That sounds like a good
time. Yeah, go ahead.
Like,
okay, Carl, so, what size are you
at? Yeah, right. GorgatronBand.com. We're on Facebook. All our music is on the iTunes, Spotify, all the stuff.
LimeWire.
Yes, LimeWire.
there you go.
I think you can support some of our material. But yeah, so also, from listening, you can either go to those sites for merch, or you can talk to us personally. We'll get you hooked up. It's all good.
Carl has been known for merch by hand.
Yes. If you live in Fargo, I will merch on my bike. It's totally cool.
may have to have you stop by.
Oh, yeah. Totally, man.
There's one thing I got to say that I thought was kind of cool. Weren't you guys recently on the Josta show?
Yep. Yeah, one of our track teachers. Yeah. We personally didn't talk to him. Yeah, checked with us.
He does a monthly music show.
Sure.
And I had emailed him a bunch of because he has segments on the show.
Yep.
Like yours is, ours is, and all that shit. So yeah, I'd emailed him dude, fucking here's an old school track that play on the show. I sent him a Carnivore track. But Carnivore is one of my all time favorite bands as well. And I was like, hey, also, we're not signed band right now, stop the label. If you're able to play the shit on the show. And then actually fucked up Garrett band all intact. I woke up to a text message at 6 in the morning. He's like, dude, you got out of a fucking Dawson show? Awesome. And I was like, oh. So that's how I found out.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, no, we thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, dude. Also, and once again, it's not even recommending all of you listen. Y'all need to listen to the Josh Show podcast as well as Managemental with Mike Howry and Blasco.
So, yeah, they're definitely worth the listen. I enjoy listening. So you guys, we're gonna, I guess after we're done talking to you guys, we're gonna play The Uncovering, which is off Inner Supremacy. We're gonna play Disassemblance, which is off Torchatorium. Is there anything particular you guys want to say about those two tracks that we're gonna be playing?
Well, Disassemblance is my second favorite song off of that first album. First one being Visions Externalized.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the track off the first album that you're going to play, I have been trying to get everyone on board to play this song live because I fucking love this song.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, the internet people out there make enough ruckus or enough cane, they raise enough cane, we can play that song.
There you go. I know, I enjoy it. Good jam.
Yeah, as far as The Uncovering goes, that tune I lyrics for that song are about, again, I might lose some of my metal credibility.
That's all right.
No, what I'm saying is that it's, I wrote it kind of about, I don't know what the word would be, but like a controlling government.
Sure.
Or, like a police state. Yeah, something like that.
Yep.
And then a singular dude either overthrowing or, leading an uprising or something like that. So things of that nature. The reason I say I could lose credibility is because there's probably at least 5,000 metals or something like that.
Right.
But
I think it's appropriate. It's appropriate for these these political times that we're in.
Yeah. Hey, before I forget, thanks for having us on this podcast, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. It's great to have you guys, and we're hoping that when we kind of interview you guys probably later, because we may as well do it again. You're right in town. that will have the technical ability to actually have you in-house here, so we'll have enough mics for you guys. That was our concern.
If, if anything, dude, like, when, once that gets rolling, if you guys would be interested in doing a, like, a live podcast, or at least do it live and you upload it later, of course, but if anything, we could work that into that, what the hell was I going to say? This is what happens when you have a lot of head injuries and you forget what you're talking about. but yeah, no, anyway, we could like possibly pair a future live podcast and dub it with the premiere of the documentary.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we'd love that. Cool. Just keep us posted.
We've been floating the idea of like after the documentary of doing like a quarantine like Q&A, but like completely like dress up with like berets.
There, you should do that. And also, you should have your afro grown by then too.
Okay, and we'll all listen to Kid Rock. It'll be
a great time. All right, guys. Any other shout outs?
Yes. Everyone.
Yes.
You just put what you do, your band, your name. No, basically all the crew at the aquarium locally, keep an eye out. Demi Fiend's got an album coming out soon. There's Killer Band of the Towns, the Unmerciful Dudes, Mark, our manager. What's up, man?
What up? Mark's our manager, too. We'll not say Mark.
Also, Janice, if you're listening, no, I will not.
Well, that's ominous. He will not, Janice. Man. He will not. Yeah. Anything else?
This episode will be labeled Carl listens to Kid Rock - Janice will not.
Yeah, yes. Oh, man. All right, guys. We appreciate it. Take care. Thanks for chatting with us.
Hey, man, thank you. We'll talk to you all soon. Cheers.
All right, cheers.
That was Carl and Cameron from the band Gorgatron.
Beep boop. Thanks for listening.
That was some pretty cool guys. I think we'll have to check out some of their mockumentaries and all the videos that they've put out on their website.
Yep.
I've watched one of the mockumentaries. It was pretty good. I'll have to watch more of them.
Beep boop. Thanks for listening.
Do I have to like put in money into the vending machine to get you to to work properly?
I just want to see you struggle through the ending here.
So I can't work like this.
They gave us two tracks.
Yes, The Uncovering and Dissemblance.
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 What does that mean?
Well, if you think of emblance,
the opposite. The opposite of that. The opposite of emblance.
Is it like dissembling? Would be my assumption.
Yes. I'm not good at words.
Yep.
So we're going to play Dissemblance first. That's off to their 2010 release, Torturatorium. And then we're going to play The Uncovering, which is off of their 2015 release,
Inner Supremacy.
Thank you.
Yep.
Horns high.
Just a bastard.